Check your credit report.
Do it yourself.
Manage money.
Your income tax.
Where's your bailout?
Saving for college.
Negotiate the best price.
We're supposed to haggle.
Start saving.
Retirement.
Bailout.
Do it yourself.
Where's your bailout?
Do it yourself.
We have arrived. This is it. This is the very last piece of our 10-part DIY bailout series. You watched as the government bailed out the big banks. You wondered where your bailout was. We've delivered it to you, or at least given you the tools on how you can do it for yourself with a takeaway contributor, Beth Kobliner. She's given us a whole bunch of things. Look, we've talked about whether to save for your kids' college. We've talked about how to get your debt under control. We've talked about all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But there's one piece missing in all this stuff, right? That's your spouse. Right? Or your partner.
This might be the hardest.
And it could very well be the hardest portion. With us today, we also have Sandra Wang. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist and a certified financial planner practitioner, as well as, if that's not enough, a certified divorce financial analyst. But Beth, let's start with you. This is a problem actually that has plagued couples for a very long time. Here's a sample from the archives.
Lucy, I haven't got any breakfast.
It's on the stove. Get it yourself.
Now, Lucy.
Listen, I am no longer the doting housewife. If you are going to send me out into the world of business to earn my own money, you can just treat me like a fellow businessman.
All right, fellow businessman. Hey, pardon me, will you pass the sugar, mister?
Unfortunately, this is kind of a stereotypical example of not just a breakdown in communications, but the condescension on both sides that sometimes happens over money.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because you hear it and it feels so archaic on the one hand. But on the other hand, you know, those conversations still take place. And when you look at the statistics, I found this and I find it amazing that feeling that one spouse has wasted money increases the chances of divorce by 45%. And only affairs, drug, and alcohol abuse were stronger predictors of divorce.
Wow. Well, Sandra Wang, that is a stunning statistic there, that the feeling that people will get divorced over the idea that their spouse has wasted money.
Absolutely. It's a difference in the perception of value as to what they think that money should be spent on and where it's gone, and really probably a sense of disillusionment as to where that relationship's gone.
So what is this? Is this a problem that maybe, I know couples sometimes obsessively talk about all kinds of things in their relationship. Are they not talking about money? Or maybe they're talking about money but not the right things?
You know, it's a great question, Celeste. It just, when it comes to couples and money, unfortunately, money is just not part of that conversation early on in a relationship. Initially, there's tremendous attraction and romance, and really, who wants to bring up money then? And that's oftentimes what we'd see as the engaging phase. But when reality sets in, and, you know, the differences that really attract them really now creates a lot of conflicts, I think a lot of couples get disillusioned and then end up disengaging from the relationship. Mm. And instead of working through these conflicts, they detour, they throw their attention into other pursuits and relationships, and really only a few couples will choose to do the really hard work of re-engaging, which means working through all the differences and growing in the relationship.
You know, Beth, I wonder if this feeds into the very first conversation we had in this series, which is about how hard it is to talk about money.
Couples are much more likely to talk about romantic partners. You know, how many people have you ever, you know, had a relationship? How many people have you slept with? I wasn't going to go there, Celeste, but you did.
I will.
You know, but how many people, you know, have you been with? How many people have you, you know, been in love with before? All that stuff is so on the table at the first date. But when it comes to money, you know, people don't want to ask their spouses what's, you know, before they've been married, what's your salary? That's such a big, big topic.
I dated somebody for almost a year and I still don't know what he made.
Yeah. And I think it gets really hard also when you have kids, because once you're married and you have kids, then it becomes like, God, he's buying this for himself. He's buying out lunch, you know, he's buying
golf
lunch
clubs,
every day and golf
clubs,
you know, even small things that really starts eating away at people.
Okay, so Sandra Wang, you are a licensed marriage and family therapist. Mm-hmm. How do we stop this from happening?
You know, first I would say prevention over intervention. It's really important that couples go into the relationship with eyes open, have conversations about money and ask the hard questions, like Beth said, pretty early on. For instance, what does money mean to you? Role did it have growing up? You know, how do you budget? How much debt are you comfortable with? I think the goal really is to identify any possible areas of conflict through the differences so that they're not surprised when these issues do come up. The second thing is to align their personal finance with life goals. I think it's really important for them to decide on what their joint goals are going to be and agree to some parameters as to how they're going to get that. So if raising kids, well is really important, then it might mean tightening the budget in other areas and giving up some things that they're used to having.
You know, I've had so many people come over to me in the last few months and say, I'm thinking of getting engaged, but, you know, he doesn't want to ever pay taxes because he doesn't like the government. And I want to have kids and have a nice house. And do you think we should get married? And I'm not qualified to answer these questions, but when people are so different, do you think it's just not right
they're
for them to get married?
Up for yeah. Food, what do you think, Sandra?
I think actually the differences tend to bring people together. There are some couples that are very similar, but oftentimes it's the opposite that tend to attract. And, you know, if you look at, let's say, spending or saving, you know, a lot of savers, they can be drawn to spenders because spenders really bring a spontaneity and they're free-spirited. And on the other hand, you know, a lot of spenders might be drawn to savers because they bring a stability or an ability to plan for the future. The key thing, though, is to make sure that you understand each other's perspectives on money before making any big commitment. Because I really don't think you're going to find two people who are completely the same in everything in their relationship.
Well, that sounds like a takeaway there. Beth, takeaway from you?
I think it's hard. I think especially when you have kids. I mean, she's right that opposites do attract. There was a University of Michigan study that confirmed that spenders are attracted to savers. You know, it's cute when you're in your 20s, but in your 30s, if he's a spender and I'm a saver, you got to be really sure that you're okay with that going forward.
Okay, Beth Kobliner, takeaway contributor, author of Get a Financial Life, and Sandra Wang joined us. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist, a certified financial planner practitioner, and certified divorce financial analyst. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you for having us here.
Thank you.
Beth actually has 7 tips for people who want to improve the conversations they have
only
about
7?
Money with their other half. They're actually
Beth
very simple.
Beth usually has 26.
No, there's only 7. Wow. So that would seem to be something most people could do. You can write everything down. That's one of them. They're all at the Takeaway blog. I've already read them. Very helpful. While you're there, you can check out all segments in the 10-part series DIY Bailout on our site. That's all on thetakeaway.org.
You know, my wife and I struggled with this.
Really?
Whole, like, everybody knowing what's going on financially. And for a long time, we went like, nobody said anything. We just sort of like looked at the checking account. And sometimes there were some surprises in the balance downward and, you know, more rarely upward. And then we actually, through some tension, got to the point where we were a little more candid about it. But it eventually got to the point where our money discussions actually are a little, you know, kind of...
Did you hear her?
They're kind of hot. You know, they kind of get... They sort of get like, hey, honey, let's talk about money. And, like, you know, it's sort of fun.
I'm going to steer us off in a different direction.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
I feel like that's hot
but
lava.
It's a whole
but,
different thing.
You know, I heard Beth saying that
she called you hot lava, honey. Did you hear that?
That, you know, the idea that one spouse
you're
or the
blushing.
Other...
You're actually blushing.
Me?
Yeah.
The brown people don't blush. Okay, so...
That's a bumper sticker.
So here's what Beth said. She said that the idea that one spouse or the other wasted money, only cheating or divorce is a stronger predictor of...
True. It's a tough issue. It's a tough issue, but you can get through it, I think.
Yeah,
and
there's
can.
Some good tips from Beth.
Give us a call at 8778-MY-THING. You can text us by sending the word TAKE to 69866, and we'll tell you where to go from there. Your own provider may charge you based on your plan, but we'd love to hear how you've grappled with this issue.
And we're also talking about the results of the primary elections in several states, and we're wondering what the headline was for you coming out of those results. So one person wrote, Omar in Sandy Springs, Georgia. He says, Rand Paul, a libertarian posing as a Tea Party senator, beat a real Republican.
It's kind of big for a headline. Americans are screaming for term limits. That's a little more succinct from the same listener. You can always check out the Takeaway blog for a glimpse at what we're working on and be a part of the conversation. Tomorrow, the TV summer season. We'll talk about that on The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.